It is Transfiguration Sunday today, but rather than read about Jesus' transfiguration in Matthew, I'm going to read about another mountain event back in Moses' time from Exodus 24, 9 through 18. Then Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel went up, and they saw the God of Israel. Under his feet there was something like a pavement of sapphire stone, like the very heaven for clearness. God did not lay his hand on the chief men of the people of Israel. Also they beheld God, and they ate and drank. The Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and wait there, and I will give you the tablets of stone with the law and the commandment, set out which have been written for their instruction." So Moses set out with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up into the mountain of God. To the elders he had said, "Wait here for us until we come to you again, for Aaron and Hur are with you. Whoever has a dispute may go to them." Then Moses went up on the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. The glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. On the seventh day he called to Moses out of the cloud. Now the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on the top of the mountain in sight of the people of Israel. Moses entered the cloud and went up on the mountain. Moses was on that mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. We read about a lot of spectacular events in the Bible, in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, just like this where Moses went up into the mountain, which to him was like going up into a cloud. To the people of Israel, it looked like a big fire, and God was with him. And that's the verse where we mentioned here a few months back when we were talking about Bible study, where people have probably read that a bunch of times and never realized that a whole group of people saw God. Most people think the only person that saw God saw his backside, but that's not true. So there are a lot of spectacular events in the Bible, things that happen, things that we might consider mystical or supernatural. And we're going to talk about that a little bit this morning. There's a man named Wesley Trace who tells about a letter he once received. He says, "I have hundreds of biblical photographs." And the letter said, "including several from the Garden of Eden." Tracy thought, "Wow, I have seen and taken a lot of photos of biblical places, tiny mustard seeds on Mount Olives, the temple courtyard, and the Lord's supposed birthplace guarded by a soldier with an automatic weapon. But Eden? I don't think they had cameras in Eden." So then he asks himself, where was Eden anyway? And though some of our supermarket tabloids will scream things like, "Adam and Eve skeleton found south of Denver," I don't think that's the case. But then the question was asked by a student of Dr. Carlisle Marney one day, "Where is the Garden of Eden?" And he said, "I can tell you exactly, it's in Tennessee." The student looked at him and said, "What?" He said, "Knoxville, Tennessee, 215 South Elm Street. It was there on Elm Street when I was a boy that I stole a quarter out of Mama's purse, ran to the store, bought a bag of peanut clusters, and ate it as fast as I could. Afterward, I was so ashamed that I came back home to 215 Elm Street and hid in the closet. Mama found me and asked, 'Why are you hiding? What have you done?'" Sound familiar? Do you need help locating your Eden? The place where you first betrayed the noble, the good, and God? Your Eden was that situation in which you discovered that you suffered from a curvature of the soul's sin, original sin. Now, it's impossible to fully appreciate our Christian faith if you do not have some familiarity with the entire biblical drama. From Eden, where Adam and Eve enjoyed a carefree existence, to Patmos, where John had his vision of the new heaven and the new earth. And there are many people that kind of assume that this great faith that we have started with Jesus and the 12 disciples, or possibly Paul and the apostles. But that's not necessarily the case. Faith can go back as far as Abraham. He had to have a lot of faith for the things that God did for him. And he did. He got up and went, not knowing where he was going, because God told him, you need to do that. That's faith. And we talk about Moses after he came down off the mountain. He sealed his covenant with God with the blood of an animal. He sprinkled some of it on the altar and some of it on the people. God wanted them to be faithful, obedient people. As we all know, down through the years, we read in the Bible how often they were not faithful people, and God had to correct them. But faith is a great thing. Supernatural faith is a great thing. John Aurelio, in his book Colors, tells an intriguing story. He says, at the birth of the sun, a certain king commissioned his gardener to create a beautiful flower, because in so many years, when his newborn son would get married, he wanted there to be this beautiful, unique flower. So the gardener got started on this, and he mixed several different roses together because he felt like roses were a noble flower, and worked on this for many, many years, thought he finally had the perfect rose about the time that the prince was going to get married. At the wedding, that beautiful flower was there at the altar along with some other roses. But to the gardener's dismay, the new queen-to-be walked right past his beautiful flower, picked one of the ordinary flowers up, and smelled of it and smiled. What the gardener did not realize is that the new queen-to-be was blind. She couldn't see how beautiful that rose was. And what he neglected to think about when he created this unique, beautiful rose is the scent of a rose. It was gorgeous, but had no scent. So she couldn't smell it, didn't know it was there, and went on to pick up an ordinary rose. And you can kind of draw parallels to that when you think about our faith. To some Christians, faith that does not include an element of a mystical experience is no faith at all. We look for those mystical, supernatural experiences. We try to see those things happening in our lives. We look at those events in the Bible where these great things happen, the fire on the mountain, or Jesus transfiguring into this great white light and talking to Moses and Elijah, and God talking down from heaven, telling them, this is my beloved Son, and who am I well pleased, listen to him. All these miraculous things that we read about in the Bible. And some people have it in their mind that if those kinds of things don't happen to me, then I must not have faith. But that's not the case. Faith is our belief in the fact that God is going to take care of us. You don't have to see some miraculous thing happen to prove faith. Faith is about those things not seen. So we all have that faith. And we don't necessarily have to see some great thing. Now, I know you hear people talk about near-death experiences. You hear people talk about after a loved one has passed on, a few days later, they might see them and they talk to them and tell them they're okay and that things are good, or different kinds of things like that. And I'm sure those things happen. And that would be a supernatural faith. But for most of us, our faith is just that feeling within us. It's not something we can see or touch. A good example would be there was a company in Santa Cruz here a few years ago that was marketing a pair of pants that had a quartz crystal in them. It was in the seam in the back about the waist. You couldn't see it, couldn't feel it. They marketed it with that idea, saying, you won't feel the crystal. You'll just feel the energy. Another New Ager, Mary Beth Strobel, who's an artist from Jersey City, New Jersey, explains that she wears a large chunk of quartz strapped around her neck because it puts a circle of power around her that keeps her feeling protected. Well, different people have different ideas. We've gone through different phases over the past 10, 20 years where copper bracelets or copper infused into your clothing or all these different little New Age fads that are supposed to do things for you. But if you really want to feel energy, have faith. Trust God, and you can feel that energy because there's great power in that energy. One thing that we've noticed down through the years, and it gets to be more and more recently, is the independent churches are growing like weeds at the expense of the mainline churches. And we wonder why that happens. People have theorized that it's because the mainline churches have remained too cerebral and not enough celebratory. We're so caught up in our rules, in our discipline, just like back in the days of the Pharisees. We're so caught up in our rules and our discipline, and a lot of those, I believe, are there for a purpose, and I think they serve that purpose. But more people today, because of the way society is, are drawn towards churches that don't have all these rules and regulations. They want something that they can just go and have a good time and celebrate Jesus. And that's the churches that are growing. And I don't knock them for that, but I wonder sometimes if they're really in church for the right reason. Or are they there because they're having a good time? That's a whole nother story. But anyway, mystical experiences are very much a part of our faith. Things that may move away from the ordinary. Like Moses spending 6 days waiting for God to call him up on the mountain and then spending 40 days up on the mountain with God. You notice the 40 shows up a lot in the Bible, 40 days and 40 nights. But God took care of Moses. Jesus was in the desert 40 days and 40 nights. God took care of Jesus. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to Him. That's the kind of faith that we need to have. We need to exemplify Jesus, imitate Jesus. And we need to honor and glorify God the Father through Jesus. That's what faith is all about. That's where some of this supernatural faith comes from. Because we're in a society that seems to be caught up in this supernatural thing. You watch the TV shows and the movies and different things, and we're worried about angels and witches and devils and all these different things that are just of this earth. Angels exist, demons exist, but why are we so worried about them? That's not what Christianity is all about. Christianity is about faith and trust. Handel, who did Handel's Messiah, that we still sing today, when he was finishing up his Hallelujah chorus, somebody walked into the room and discovered he was just streaming with tears. And they wondered why. And he explained to this person that, "I saw all heaven before me and the great God himself." And I think if you listen to Handel's Messiah today, especially during the Hallelujah chorus, it will bring tears to your eyes because you might see heaven and you might see God in your mind. You might have that kind of supernatural, faithful experience from listening to it. We talked about people seeing loved ones after they passed. Frederick Buchner talks about a friend of his, a very good friend of his, that passed away rather suddenly. He said a few days later, he was staying overnight, he and his wife were staying overnight at this friend's widow's house. And he doesn't know for sure whether it was a dream or this really happened. But he remembers seeing his friend standing there as big as life in the same kind of outfits he'd normally wear, a wool blue sweater and white pants. But because he wasn't sure whether he was dreaming or whether this was real, he asked his friend, "Are you really there, Dudley? Is that really you? Can you prove that you are standing there?" So Dudley pulled a thread out of his navy blue wool sweater and handed it to Frederick Buchner. Well, he's still wondering if this is real or if this is a dream. But the next morning at breakfast, he's telling his wife and this widow about his experience the night before and thinking maybe it was just a dream. And his wife looked at him kind of puzzled and said, "You know, when I was getting dressed this morning, I noticed there was a strand of blue wool in the floor that I'm pretty sure wasn't there the night before. So, did this really happen because of the blue thread, or did he dream it?" See, things like that happen, and I thoroughly believe things like that happen. Loved ones that pass on do sometimes come back to talk to you, especially in a situation like this gentleman where he died suddenly, or what we would say is unexpectedly. They want to let you know that it's okay. I'm all right. And so God allows them to see you, to come and talk to you. And those are the kinds of mystical experiences that are real. They're real to the person that they're happening to, because that person has faith in God and knows because of God's love, he allows things like that to happen. So you can be reassured that that person is okay. But we also have to be very careful about our mystical experiences from faith. We all hear the stories about how this rust stain over here, oh, that's Jesus. Or that water stain on that wall, oh, I see Mary in that. Or some people believe they see Elvis Presley or whatever. And they're seeing that in their mind. It doesn't really exist there, but they build that in their mind. So we have to be careful about some of our mystical experiences, because our mind is like that. It tries to make things out of the things that we see. There's a psychologist that made the comment that you could take a bag full of marbles, toss them in the floor, and if you stared at them long enough, you could make something out of them. So we also have to be careful about our supernatural faith, our mystical experiences. I know they exist, and I know people have them, but we also have to be very careful about making something out of nothing. Another thing that people make a big deal out of is the number 666. It's a number, folks. It doesn't really mean anything. But there are people that believe that if they have any connection to that, that it's wrong. It's the devil. So much so that there was a lady in Colorado that filed a suit in court to get her license plate changed because the last three numbers on her license plate were 666. That's just plain silly. For years, people have been trying to figure out who the Antichrist is. So they come up with these schemes to take a person's name and make them 666. Oh, that's the Antichrist. Ronald Reagan, for example. His first name, his middle name, and his last name all had six characters. And they're going, see? That's not what supernatural faith is about. That's not what God is trying to tell us. That's not what John was trying to tell us. He was just letting us know that, hey, this is going to happen. And you'll recognize it when it really happens. There will be no doubt in your mind. You'll see it. But we can make something out of nothing. I've had teenagers in fast food restaurants go in there and buy a hamburger or something, and they give you back your change, and they realize it's $6.66, and they, oh my God. And I look at them and I say, hun, it's just a number. But it just freaks people out. We shouldn't be worrying about those kinds of things. We should be more worried about doing God's will, listening to what God wants us to do, having faith that He's going to take us where we need to go, put us in the situations where we need to be. And we also need to be tolerant of those people that have these odd thoughts. But because in most cases, you're not going to change their mind. So be Christian and be nice about it and let it go. Be tolerant. We have a wide range of experiences in our lives. Lots of things happen to us. Some we can explain, some we can't. But the whole heart of the matter is, the test of faith is not experience. It's not what we see. It's not the things that happen to us. The whole heart of faith is about how fruitful we are. That's the main thing about being a Christian. How fruitful are you? How much are you doing to build God's kingdom? Paul says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Does your faith make you a loving, trusting person? Does your faith make you humble, tolerant, loving? That's faith. There's a legend about someone walking through an orchard, and they get towards the end of the orchard, and there's a forest. And this person swears they heard this conversation between a maple tree and an apple tree. And a maple tree is fussing at the apple tree because the fruit trees don't make a lot of noise in the wind. But maple trees do when the wind blows through them. The apple tree looked at the maple tree and said, well, I may not make a lot of noise, but I sure am fruitful. And that's what it's all about. It's not about us making a lot of noise. It's not about us having a rock band in church. It's not about bringing attention to ourselves. It's about being fruitful. Our faith makes us want to be fruitful and to build God's kingdom. And all these supernatural, mystical experiences we have, they're great because they build our faith. Some of them you'll see, some of them you may not recognize, but they build our faith. And as we build our faith, we go through the journey that John Wesley talks about, the journey of growing as a Christian. We will want to be fruitful and bring others to the kingdom of God. Because that's what it's all about. Supernatural faith, being super faith. Amen.